to Missouri, where a black man is seeking exoneration this week after 43 years in prison for triple murder. Kevin Strickland has long maintained his innocence, and now prosecutors are fighting on his side. One of the key details at issue is Strickland's hair. Here's Jackson County Prosecutor Gene Peters Baker in a hearing this month.
You don't have to know a lot about black hair, but you have to know a little to know these are not fresh braids.
Luke Martin is covering this for member station KCUR. Hi, Luke.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, help us understand the basics. Who is Kevin Strickland, and why was he convicted of triple murder that happened back in 1978?
Kevin Strickland was 18 years old at the time when he was convicted of this triple murder here in Kansas City. The killings were very gruesome. There were four people shot. Three of those people ended up dying. One of them, Cynthia Douglas, survived because she lost consciousness. Douglas identified to police two of the four shooters by name, but she didn't identify Strickland, who she had known for a couple of years, until the next day when she picked him out of a police lineup. Strickland's original conviction hinged on Douglas's testimony against him, partly because there just wasn't a lot of other evidence tying him to the scene.
Yeah, so he was convicted to 50 years in prison, I believe. And now, more than 40 years on, why are prosecutors arguing he's innocent?
Yeah, so earlier this year, Prosecutor Gene Peters Baker took on this months-long review of new evidence in Strickland's case. This evidence was presented to her by the Midwest Innocence Project. She announced in May that she also thought Strickland was innocent. The problem was that there was no way for local prosecutors in Missouri to revisit cases like these where a bad verdict is suspected until this summer, when the state legislature passed a massive bipartisan public safety bill that included a provision giving prosecutors that ability. So soon after that happened, Baker petitioned a judge on Strickland's behalf. There's several things that point to Strickland's innocence here. None of his prints on the shotgun in question, nor were there any in the house where this crime occurred. Baker also contends that Douglas, that lone eyewitness, wanted to recant her testimony against Strickland for years. Baker called up, you know, many of Douglas's family and friends to the stand, and they testified that Douglas felt pressured by police to identify Strickland back in 1978.
Now, one of the key pieces of this is his hair. Strickland was, as you described, ID'd in a lineup, and the picture shows his hair in braids. But the witness, Ms. Douglas, said the shooter had natural hair, that it was not braided. Why is this important?
Yeah, the question here is really whether Strickland could have gotten his hair braided between 8 p.m. Tuesday night when the murders occurred and 6 a.m. the next morning when he first met with police. I talked to a pair of experienced hair braiders here in Kansas City, Kansas, Glennis and Shelley Smith. They estimated braiding Strickland's hair like it appears in his booking photo. That would probably take about an hour or two. So timing-wise, it's definitely possible. But the other thing to consider is that the quality of the braids in the photograph, they're clearly not fresh. In the mugshot, Strickland's hair is braided in about 10 or 12 sections. Each section is tied in what's called a plait, about the size of a pinky finger. So this is a really common braiding technique. But in Strickland's photo, those lines between each of the plaits where the scalp is exposed, those lines are ill-defined and a little bit fuzzy. So when I showed the Smith sisters this mugshot, they told me that they see about a week's worth of new hair growth here.
You can see the plait growing away from the scalp. So that's new growth. And you cannot have new growth within 24 hours.
Now, on the other side, the state attorney general argues Strickland is guilty and that he received a fair trial. What's the evidence on that side?
You know, during the hearing, the AG's attorneys basically argued that it is within the realm of possibility for Strickland to have his hair braided between the time of the murders and the mugshot. The attorneys have also pointed out that one of Strickland's fingerprints was on the getaway vehicle. As for these witnesses, the family and friends who say that Douglas wanted to recant, the attorney general has basically said that all of that testimony amounts to hearsay and the judge shouldn't consider it.
Now, Strickland was convicted by an all-white jury, And this case has sparked more debate over race and cultural competency in the courtroom. How's that been playing out?
I think it's worth mentioning here that Strickland's conviction came during his second trial. During Strickland's first trial, there was a single black juror, and that trial ended in a hung jury. Research suggests that a biased conviction is more likely when a jury is homogenous. For whatever reason, we see that a diverse jury results in more, you know, wide-ranging discussions of the facts in a case. I also spoke with retired Judge Ladaris Hazard Cordell. She was the first African-American woman on the Superior Court of Northern California. She told me Strickland's situation could have been far different if more black people had been involved in his trial.
There is no question that a black person raised in a black community who was either a judge or an attorney on either side or a juror would absolutely know right away that something was wrong.
Luke, any thoughts on when the judge could render a decision?
Yeah, we really don't know at this point. Today is basically the last day for attorneys to get the judge paper versions of all of their evidence and arguments that they've made. The judge told the courtroom, you know, he would be making a decision in a timely manner, but there's no timetable or schedule for that.
Well, indeed, if he is freed, Strickland would be the longest wrongful imprisonment case in state history, so certainly worth watching. Luke Martin, reporter for KCUR in Kansas City, Missouri. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.